Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey guys, welcome to Steel Wars. I am comedian Steel Saunders and I do love Star Wars. And each week I find someone to talk about it with, and today we are in LA, and while his dad has not said anything on film, his son is going to talk some Star Wars with us. Welcome to the podcast, Nathan Hamill.
How's it going?
It goes well. Now, I have to ask, you've just shown me around your apartment, which is... is kind of like my youth just exploded.
Right.
It is. It's visually stunning. But when I went up the elevator, there's a sign saying that someone's pushing the elevator button too hard.
Yeah.
And they've got people in investigating tapes and they've got the elevator company coming in.
It wasn't me.
I don't know, man.
I've been out of the country for a while, so.
I think you've been hitting level four just a little bit too hard.
Too much fervor, yeah.
Are you eyeing people around? Like, who do you think the culprit is?
I don't know. Well, see, I don't know if they... Hopefully, they're not listening to this, but...
it's a podcast. They're not listening.
The guys a couple doors down. I don't know. They seem... They're the ones that leave trash in the elevator after they've been out after a long night of drinking, so, you know.
Have they got big thumbs? That's who I'd be looking for. Who's got a big thumb?
Right, yeah, yeah.
We were at Star Wars Celebration in London.
Yes.
And then we're at Comic Con. What's your highlight of all that convention going? Beer 57? Was that the best one?
It was, I mean, at this point, you know, I've slowed down on the collecting, which, you know, we've agreed is probably for the best, running out of room here. But
you've either got to slow down on the collecting or get going on the real estate purchasing.
Right, or open a store, yeah. Mm-hmm. But no, just hanging out with friends, you know, especially Comic-Con. It's, you know, it's people you see only once a year, and it's at Comic-Con, so that's always fun.
Yeah, it's sort of, it's what makes going again and again rewarding, is because you build up this file of friends.
Yeah.
And you bump into, and I met a bunch of your friends at Poolside, and, you know, I look forward to seeing them next year as
exactly,
well.
Exactly, exactly. That's our Saturday. We're done with the convention. We're done running into sweaty people, and it's time to just relax a little bit. So
trying to hit the Poolside Bar. Although there was a tragedy at the Poolside Bar. I'm not sure if you remember.
What happened?
I got my full can of beer
stolen.
That's
right. That's right. It was right behind you. Yeah.
I just put it down.
Yeah.
And I looked around, and then for the rest of the day, much like you're looking for the big thumbed person in the apartment, I'm like, which one of these bastards has got a Ducati? I'm calling them out.
Yeah, that was insane. It was within a minute, it was gone.
I've never had anything like stolen from me like that.
Yeah,
and the sad thing was, like, I wasn't worried.
But we're saying it was because it wasn't opened.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
But I got it, and I wasn't worried about how much it was, like $5 or something. But I bought two so I wouldn't have to go back to the bar. So
exactly,
he didn't steal $5 off me or she.
He stole your time.
He stole my time.
Ruined your plan to be lazy. Or not lazy, but just, yeah. Yeah.
Not late. I was thinking ahead. I was planning for the future.
Yeah. Well, I mean, otherwise, though, not a bad year, right? You checked out, I saw your Instagram, you checked out the panel on all the Black Series and all the toys and stuff. Yeah, I can't keep up with those. There's too many.
I just collect the Japanese ones. And they come out very slowly, the FH Big Hearts ones.
Okay.
Now, we ask this of every guest.
Okay.
And I'm fascinated for your answer, because you're a bit more embedded. But what's your first memory of Star Wars?
Oh, man. I seem to remember vaguely very large trees, which would have been the Redwood Forest and teddy bears. But... but I don't know. It's hard to say. I don't know if that's a real memory or if I've invented it, you know?
either way, do you think the trees were real or on a set?
No, those were the real ones. I know I was there, but I don't know if I was, you know, as Louis C.K. says, making memories. So, but yeah, that and I remember seeing Jabba on the big screen. So that would have been, yeah, in 83. And then, yeah, I guess just watching it on video mostly because I was born in during the second one.
Now, I did a brief Google, did some research,
okay,
which I loathe to do, Nathan. Yeah. And you're actually born during the filming of Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah, yeah.
And do you know what scene? Like that your dad had to go film the next day?
It was a scene where the this might be controversial, but the AT-AT, not the AT-AT. I don't know what they've deemed as the correct terminology, but
I just jump in?
I go AT-AT.
If anyone corrects anyone on how to pronounce AT-AT or AT-AT, you are a boring nerd. Like, who cares? Everyone knows what you're talking about.
Exactly, exactly. The scene where it crushes the snowspeeder. He's trying to get Dak out of the back.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the scene. I don't know if it was that day or... I think it was that day, but...
You know. Okay, because I read the next day he had to get on set to film the hanging from the antenna scene.
Oh, yeah, I don't know. How do you know more about this?
Because I Googled it this morning. But when has the internet got everything wrong?
Yeah, that's true.
Come on.
That's true.
So
it's all
I think,
fact check. Yeah. No opinions, no.
I'll just conduct the interview by myself.
I should start asking you questions then.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, what happened the next day?
I don't know. There was stuff. There was a lightsaber.
Where were you June 27th?
Here? No, that was July. So I saw there was like some photos of you like on the set. Like, yeah. And there was an adorable one. One of my favorites was you're sitting in Yoda's house.
Right.
And it's all, because Yoda's so small.
The table, yeah.
It's all your size.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you recall any of that stuff?
No.
Devastating.
Yeah, but I mean, I always wonder, you know, some of that stuff must seep in and inform your sensibilities or, you know, your artwork or whatever, mm-hmm. whatever you may do. So at least I have the photograph. So
the one thing that's maybe good that you don't remember is doing that and going on set of Return of the Jedi and seeing the teddy bears.
Yeah.
Is it just totally would have ruined Disneyland? Like, that's a hard thing for Disneyland to live up to.
They had Winnie the Pooh, but that was it, yeah. So, it was not quite the same, but, yeah.
Maybe the worst Ewok in history is Winnie the Pooh. So, you don't remember any of the Return of the Jedi stuff?
No.
So, I guess you would have been, I guess, three. That's a...
Well, not even... So, it would have been... Yeah, you're right. Yeah, because it would have been filming 82 then, or late 81.
Yeah, well, if you think the films came out 3 years apart, you'd think they were filming 3 years apart as well.
Right. Yeah, I wish I had a better story, but...
You've got photos. There is some...
I've got photos, and I remember, you know, the more current ones, and Phantom Menace, which I was an extra in the background. So.
Hey, don't jump too far ahead, buddy.
All right. Well, let's go back to... I'm still in the 80s.
I'll put up a little collage of photos that I found, but there's some adorable ones of, like, Billy Dee Williams in his skiff outfit holding you.
Yeah,
and
which I saw him at was it Celebration or Star Wars Days? He was there, so I got a photo with him and had him sign the photograph. I got a current photo with him. So
I thought you were going to say you like recreated the photo and you made him lift
up. I should have held him. Yeah.
bit of back scratching.
Yeah.
You say you remember seeing Return of the Jedi and Jabba the Hutt. Now, like, I'm fascinated with the idea that you're watching this film, one of the biggest films of all time.
Right.
And it stars your dad.
Yeah, that's the thing. There wasn't like an aha moment. That was just, that's how it always was. That was the norm. So, you know, there wasn't as I always say though, when we played it, you know, on the playground at school or you know, with the next door neighbors, I always got to be Luke. I picked him. You're Chewie, you're Luke. It's like the scene in Space where they go, it's Jabba the Princess? Yes. Yeah.
Well, you've got the voice down.
Yeah. I think the I don't think I'll get grounded now, but in high school, I ditched school and called in as him. I said, "Oh, I'm sorry. You know, Nathan went home sick early. This is Mr. Hamill. I was in a meeting," and it worked. So, don't tell my parents.
Yeah, I was just like, you sound very similar, but surely there would have been some sort of puberty at play at the time.
Well, would have been like 15 or so. So,
okay.
I just lowered it a little bit. You know, how you do, like when we would do prank calls, we'd do the same thing, you know, just sound like an adult.
So when did you realize that not everyone's dad is in a movie?
I don't know. I mean, probably pretty early on. Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
like the fact that you were playing Star Wars.
Right.
That would be like me playing chef. I'm the chef, just like my dad.
Yeah.
It never like it hit you just like, oh, this is... We like when you found out what like other kids' dads did.
Well, yeah, I knew it wasn't, but it wasn't weird. It wasn't necessarily. I didn't go, oh, this is normal. I thought it was cool because I, you know, it was sort of made for, you know, young, you know, it appealed to me. So it was one of those things where, yeah, I thought it was cool. So
it's lucky. Do you know what I mean? Like you could have been rebellious and really gotten into Star Trek or something.
Right,
like
there you go.
That would have shown him.
No, we weren't allowed to watch Star Trek. Nothing else with the word star in it. No Star Search, no Starlight Express, eventually no Star Jones.
Have you ever seen Starlight Express?
I think we actually did see that. Yeah.
That I have to say, it's competitive, but that is my favorite roller skating musical.
Well, did you ever see the Get a Life episode where they parodied... It was a little bit of Cats and a little bit of Starlight Express, Starlight Express, and it was called Zoo Animals on Wheels. I think it was by Andrew Todd Keller or something like that. They just switched it up.
No, I haven't seen that
it's
one.
It's fantastic. It's just, I love bad, you know, parody. It's bad theater is always fun.
I've been meaning to go back and, because I just hear that Get a Life spoken about in such... Like reverent terms.
Yeah.
I saw you got a Chris Elliott little picture.
Yep. Yep. No, it's, if I had to choose, that would probably be my favorite show ever. You know, for a while, you know, and it's still, you know, up there would be, you know, it was between that and The Simpsons, sort of.
Yeah.
But Get a Life, it was just such a strange show and so surreal. And I mean, he died in a lot of the episodes. A giant boulder would fall on him or he'd get shot and there's a big hole in his stomach. And it was just, it was insane, you know. So, yeah, I've always been a Chris Elliott fan.
The continuity sounds horrible.
Yeah, right. And they just throw it away, you know, and it's just no big deal. They rip his head off in one. They start playing soccer with it.
He doesn't, like, do a Darth Maul and come back with, like, robot legs in the next episode.
They didn't have
like
the budget. No.
Okay. I don't think I'll be able to watch it now. I'm a sucker for continuity. I like things to match up. It's very upsetting.
It's stupid. It's smart, stupid humor.
Yeah, yeah.
It's
yeah.
like, and they had, you know, Charlie Kaufman wrote on some of it.
Oh, really?
Bob Odenkirk from Mr. Show. Great show. It jokes like, hey, Gus, what's that word that rhymes with normal and starts with an N? I just go, what?
What's the answer to that?
Normal. It's just the character's an idiot. Just trying to think. So on this week of Get a Life podcast.
Your dad tells a story at panels and stuff about all the toys that got delivered to the house.
Yeah, yeah.
You thought, I don't know if it's you, your first word was Kenner, or you thought the Kenner was what toys were, or...
Yeah, no, he jokes that my first word was Kenner, but I recognized that blue lettering on those, you know, those cardboard boxes. And he's like, how can I say no? It's like a 2 or 3 year old kid. So, yeah, we open them all. As you should. I believe you should open your toys, you know. Or buy two. Save one. And
all right. Well, we've got a big night ahead of us opening up all these toys, buddy.
Uh-oh. I take it back.
That Pee Wee Herman's getting busted out. I saw you had
Most of them.
You had a vintage R2-D2 with sensor scope in there. Crack it open.
Don't describe everything. I'm going to get robbed.
They won't be able to get up here because the elevator's broken.
That's true. That's true.
Bring your giant thumbs, you guys. Bring your giant thumbs. So you would like recognize the font on the box and know that
I caught on pretty quickly.
That's where the good stuff is.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's pretty rad. How much stuff?
Oh man, I think they sent Luke stuff. They sent other things, but I think it was like, you know, for a while it was like they would send one of every Luke item.
Mm-hmm.
I think it eventually stopped because my parents ran out of room. There's, you know, it died down in the 80s, right? You remember with the merchandising, mm-hmm. Then it came back slowly and now it's full force, you know. No pun intended.
It's not bad though. So so that's pretty bad adventures though. Like you've just got all the different Lukes just yeah. Luking. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
You'd have to like paint one black to be Darth Vader or something.
I wonder if most of it must be in storage because you can see in there it was not, that's mostly the newer Star Wars stuff. I have a Luke and Leia head that I think I chewed off. Still have those, but not an extensive collection. If we did get, you know, as much as I'm inferring, but yeah.
But do you actually recall the boxes turning up?
Yeah. Later on, yeah, it was. Yeah, because like I said, when they started to bring more stuff out, I was all over it. You know?
Yeah.
When they started doing that, like it was in early 90s. Yeah.
Oh, so they started sending them again in the 90s.
Yeah, yeah. And I was all over it, definitely.
So that means like in about 94, you would have got sent like a Luke Skywalker Bendem.
Oh, yeah.
Possibly the worst.
The He-Man Luke, yeah.
Oh, no, there was like Gumby ones before that.
Yeah.
Were you impressed? Like, how old you would have been? I don't know, like 18 or something then?
A little younger, like 90. Yeah, probably 7th, 8th, 9th grade around then, yeah.
Were you impressed with how much, like, your dad had worked out?
Yeah, right.
Because he was buff, man.
He looked like he did on that first poster, yeah.
Oh, that's true that, yeah. True that. In the films, we always talk about this. What is, like, when you watched it, and again, you might have, you know, a different answer than most or for a different reason, but, like, who was your character that you, like, related with and was your favorite character?
Oh, I've always liked R2. It's, you know, he's always, you know, BB-8's nice too, but, you know, he's no R2. I wanted more R2 in this last one, so.
Well, you couldn't have had much less.
Yeah, that's true.
Mm.
He was in a coma the whole time.
Which is weird that he was in a coma, because normally in movies when people are in a coma, they make a beeping noise.
Right.
And because he was in a coma, he made no beeping noise.
Exactly.
It's very weird. I've never thought about that before, but that's an interesting just reversal of but R2's great. Like, everyone needs a friend, an R2-D2 friend.
Yeah.
Like I've got one where it's just like if you like need something done, like a check-in. I've got a friend that, like,
yeah,
I was running late for a plane and I had to check in to ensure they wouldn't take off without me.
So you're running around, you had him do it?
Oh no, it's my friend Kate. And okay. I'd be like, can you please do this? And she's like, yeah. She's like that person that you can always depend on.
Yeah.
Selfless.
Yeah.
And will sit in the back of your spaceship and chat to you all day. What about what's your favorite scene in Star Wars?
The original or any?
Any.
Oh. I always like the scene where the droids get to Jabba's palace. Because I could kind of relate to C-3PO. Because as a kid, that's sort of a, not scary scene, but it's intimidating. They go up to the big door and that, you know, the gatekeeper guy comes out. You kind of want them to turn around a little bit.
Mm.
Okay, I guess they're not going to let us in. Yeah, go. Don't go in there.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's like these moments that, you know, it was too young to watch horror movies. Like, that's the closest you'd get. That and, you know, Large Marge from Pee-wee's Big Adventure. Like, the...
Yeah, it's kind of like when your ball goes into the neighbor's yard and maybe you're a bit scared and you knock on the door and it's like they don't still answer. It's like, oh, that's it with the ball.
You want the ball back, but if they don't answer, you're, yeah, you don't have to deal with it. Yet.
I always found, I remember watching it the first time and kind of agreeing with C-3PO of just like, we should go home, or when he was tripping out that like Luke Skywalker had like given the droids.
Yeah.
And when he said, I remember distinctly when
no one filled him in on the plan. Yeah. He was the only one in the dark.
When he said, you're playing the wrong message, I'm like, I was shocked. I was like, what? Why would R2 play the wrong message?
Right.
That's not their
R2. They did that in secret. Yeah. They had a, here's one for 3PO's benefit. You know, and, okay, R2, let's do the real one now. Yeah.
What do you reckon the other one was? All right, thanks. We are definitely not giving you these two droids.
Yeah, yeah. With oil bath for all.
And what's your favorite movie out of all of them?
You know, it's like most people, you know, it's probably Empire, but it would be between Empire and the first one. There's something, you know, something so interesting about the first one, because it really does feel like it's just like taped together. You know, it's like this, it just kind of, it's a very indie feel, which is strange, but it's just like, there's something very, I don't know, just inventive. And, you know, it was so fresh, you know, that it was rough around the edges, you know?
Yeah. I think like the Tatooine scenes in particular, they were so lo-fi.
Right.
Like they weren't like in the Phantom Menace, like when they go to Coruscant, it's so spectacular. Mm-hmm. Where you're just like, this is fantastic.
Yeah.
But on Tatooine, it was like, this is in space, in the shittiest town ever.
Yeah.
And it was a lot of kids growing up that lived in their own version of the shittiest town ever. I hear that.
Right.
Like,
and, you know, it's been, you know, discussed before, but it was that lived-in world, which was Logan's Run and all these shiny sci-fi movies, you know, before. But to see the... I think that's had a major impact on, like, on a lot of the genre stuff now, and since, I mean.
Yeah, I think, like, in the prequels, because it was in the universe, it was, like, peacetime.
Right.
So, and everything's a lot more shiny and stuff. I think that was something that a lot of fans, like, a separation from, this ain't my Star Wars.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
That ship's shiny. What's up with that?
Yeah.
Like,
well, that one, the Naboo thing, I think that was like a real Flash Gordon thing, which was, you know, sort of the basis for all of this.
What about background characters?
That's a good one. I always liked Hammerhead or Momad Nadon. That's a good question. So many to choose from.
I like that he's so different. Like when, like Hasbro brought out like a more realistic looking one.
Yeah.
It looks so wrong.
Right.
Because you were used to him. You were sort of like a slinky basketball player almost. Yeah. Like he was quite lean. He was trim.
Yeah.
And
the thing is, we don't really see, he's sitting down. We don't really see what he could, he could have been 400 pounds really.
Yeah. But he was quite like, it's funny those original Kenner figures when you analyze what they're wearing, it's like Hammerhead.
Yeah.
He's a lean, tall dude, and it's like he's got a blue, like one piece swimsuit on or something. Like, because he doesn't have pants.
Yeah, it was very strange.
It was a wild time in the toy shop in the late 70s.
Call him Walrus Man. Like, you know, I'm sure. I bet that was just what they called him on set, right? Or that could have just been Kenner going, I don't know, call him. We've got a hammerhead shark guy. This guy's a walrus man. And
well, that was the thing with those Kenner figures. They were all kind of intergalactic racial slurs. Like hammerhead, squid head.
Right, prune like, face.
Yeah, like that's a...
Yak face.
That's offensive shit, man. Like, you wouldn't be able to get away with that now.
Yeah.
Maybe down in the south. But we're in LA. This is a progressive place. You call him Momanadon or whatever his correct name is.
Exactly. Greedo got a name. He wasn't just Rodian dude. I guess he had lines though. So,
but it was still like, because he was a bounty hunter.
Yeah.
Greedo. I don't reckon that was his birth name.
Yeah.
And if it was, he was really like doomed from the start.
Exactly, exactly. Like Porkins, what was he going to do?
Well, Porkins was a brutal one for, you know, George Lucas did not do many favors to the overweight kids on the schoolyard. Do you know what I mean? They just live down Porkins over a few years.
Yeah.
And then bang, they get Jabba the Hutt as the new, like,
thing. And the Rancor Keeper. About. Yeah.
Well, the Rancor Keeper, you got to respect him just
now,
for his...
Now, there's a good background character.
Well, just that for his one... acting. Just yeah. for his acting.
Yeah. They just made you celebrate the death of this girl. I mean, even the whimper, though. It is... And then they knock you over the head with that scene of him being comforted by his... Yeah. That I want a standalone movie of that guy and his, you know, where he is now, all that.
Or maybe a prequel of how he like birthed the Rancor and
the baby Rancor movie. Yeah.
Yeah, and you
he's
know,
riding it around and
teach him how to eat people and stuff like that. But that was an amazing little, like, that was such a brilliant little Star Wars moment where you get like a 30-second window into another story.
Sure. Yeah.
Because, yeah, you're right. You celebrate that Luke Skywalker killed the Rancor and you're like, damn that big monster.
Yeah. I mean, but we have to go back to the plan to rescue Han. It was just, it's funny because when we all saw the movie, it was, oh no, this is just fun and exciting adventure. Like now with people have all this time, they pick it apart and go, what exactly was the plan? But it's true. All right, you guys go in first. Lando, you've been there for 6 months to a year, just maybe giving them information.
Go in disguise.
Yeah.
But whenever you can, lift pull your mask down.
Yeah. Yeah.
And expose who you are.
Exactly.
That you're this quite famous person.
Did the news, yeah, about the whole Bespin thing get out? I guess they're in the Outer Rim, so maybe they don't have space CNN.
Yeah, but you'd think a guy like Lando Calrissian would have, you know, he'd have a bit of a rep.
Yeah.
He's been around playing Sabacc.
Own the Millennium Falcon, yeah. We'll come in two at a time. All right, now Leia, you go in and just give Chewbacca up. I don't know what that... Basically, everyone get in place so Luke can come in without his lightsaber.
That's a big call.
Yeah. When Luke could have just gone in by himself, just go in first. And
that's like me coming here without my microphone.
Right, right.
And just like, we'll wing it. We'll just rig up something to your MacBook.
Exactly.
It's foolhardy. So, all right, let's work this out. So Lando goes in, implants himself. Yeah. That makes sense.
So he could feed them information, let them know when everyone sleeps, and yeah.
Leia comes in, gives up Chewbacca,
mm-hmm.
gets some sweet cash for it. That's not too bad. 35,000 credits or something.
We didn't see her get paid. I don't know if there's like some installment plan or...
Do you reckon Jabba uses PayPal?
Yeah, exactly.
Bitcoin. Bitcoins would have been...
Bit credit, yeah.
Yeah, yeah,
that, yeah.
Boba Fett would have been all over the Bitcoin back in the day on the dark internet.
Yeah.
Have you ever been to the dark internet?
No. I've heard about it.
How do you
saw the documentary.
There? Is there a documentary on it?
Yeah, it was done by Alex Winter. He also did the Napster one. He was in Bill from Bill and Ted.
Oh, really?
It was on Netflix for a while about the deep web.
Fascinated with the deep web.
Yeah.
Because the light web... It's pretty good. We're yeah. on it now.
Yeah. I don't know. I think this internet thing's a fad. I don't see it going anywhere.
All right. So Leia comes in, gives up Chewbacca, frees Han. Did they think they could get out then?
I guess just so he's ready for when, so he's on his feet when Luke gets there, so they could get him out, so they don't have to haul that slab, even though it floated. Yeah. I don't know.
It would float. That'd be a good thing for Letterman's Will It Float.
Yeah, there you go.
Because the crucial thing of the plan is, did they go out to the Sarlacc like every 2 days? If someone just spilled a drink, it's like, let's go to the Sarlacc.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah, that's the punishment. Maybe that's what Lando was there for, to see how often they take the Sarlacc trip, how often they do the execution.
That makes sense.
Because maybe he reports back, you know, this Jabba's not such a bad guy. He doesn't kill anyone. So we got to think of a new plan.
what an interesting report that would be. He's not such a bad guy.
But now, don't you...
Puts on a good party, great music.
I guess it's just that Luke didn't want to go in with the lightsaber because they're in a small space. And they've got a lot of blasters. You can't take everyone out. So let's go out to this open sand dune, this open area, and
well, that's one theory.
Pick them off.
they just wanted to get him out of
his comfort zone.
Yeah, like out of the palace. Then you could strike a little bit harder. But it was a gutsy move not going with the lightsaber. But then, here's the other thing.
Mm-hmm.
How'd they know that R2 would be assigned
to like, be Bar2D2?
To be like a to be like a Red Bull girl.
Exactly. He gets held up with something. He can't be out there that exact moment. Then,
well, maybe we need a comic where Lando like wrecks the old bar droid.
Right.
Then there's someone just rocks up and it's like, you've got the job.
You're hired.
Have you got George Lucas's phone number? We should ring him and really, you could pretend you're your dad and say, there you go. I need answers.
Yeah. How is this? But like, yeah, just maybe they had a contingency plan. We'll never know. We'll never know. But it's just funny now that something that was just, well, we know the real reason, which is just, it's all about the one moment where the lightsaber pops out and you do the flip and that's the first aha moment.
You mean the best moment in film history?
Yes. That one.
That is quite a moment. That must have been really disappointing if you ever, like, as a kid, you're at the diving board with your dad and you're like, do the backflip again.
Yeah. It's like, oh, not today. Yeah. Hey, Batman's on. Let's go watch that.
Well, at least now you've got a really fascinating thing to talk about at Thanksgiving this year.
Yeah.
It's like, hey. All right.
Yeah. Do you know what was the original draft? What was the plan exactly? What was your plan? The only one that does, see, the Lando thing I get, but just the Leia and the Chewbacca thing. Maybe it's bring more people in so then we have more on our side for the battle. And the Rebels didn't help out at all. They were, you think that they want to do something to help this. Was he general at that point? Or?
Yeah, I think he was. But they had bigger fish to fry. This was sort of, I think, I felt like that they were going, doing what they shouldn't be doing.
Okay. They were rebels in the rebellion. They were rebelling against.
Ooh, double rebel word score.
Yeah.
Wow. It almost makes them imperial. That is strange. I think the R2 getting on, that's your big risk.
Yeah.
Getting R2 that sweet bartending job.
How did they know? Didn't they dismantle the last story? Oh, no, it was the protocol droid.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. What is EV, is it EV99 or... Mm-hmm. What does she say to R2 about, oh, we could use you on the sail bar? There was...
It was, I don't know, he got some props for being feisty.
Right, that's true.
She looked at his CV and saw some past history of feistiness. And you want feisty bartender.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if you've seen Tom Cruise's Cocktail, but I'd love to see R2 get on a bar and recite a poem.
Yeah, flipping glasses.
Or get Elizabeth Shue pregnant. One of the two.
if it were the prequels, he would have had gadgets coming out. He would have been flipping, spinning.
This podcast drinks. Is over. I'm decidedly anti jetpack.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Well, I mean, it's just one of those things where I think it's just in the moment he just went, "Oh, it'd be cool," but then it just once again, it's like it makes him look like a dick. He could have like he pushes. Well, maybe he is a little bit, but he pushes C-3PO off the sail barge when at that point he could have, lift him up and...
Sometimes it's just fun to trip over your friend, though. Do you know what I mean? Like, you got to push your friend into the pool one time.
Yeah, I'm not a big R2 Jets fan, but it is what it is.
It is what it is. That's what being a Star Wars fan is all about. Just looking wistfully into the horizon and going... It is what it is.
It's officially, it's canon, but, you can forget about it.
Mm.
I tend to think, I have selective, I do selective canon. Oh. Pick and choose what I want to, that's maybe blasphemy, but, I go, that part, we'll forget about that. It actually exists, but let's avert our attention over
there. Okay, so what's your biggest thing that you've... What doesn't make it into the nanon?
The nanon. good question. I don't know. You know, the thing is, I'll say this, though, is I was glad to hear that they were making all that stuff legends. And not because there weren't good stories. I liked the Timothy Zahn books and, what was it, Dark Empire... Was it Dark Empire? It was the comic book. The
Dark Horse comic?
The Cam Kennedy one?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. That stuff was really cool, but I think it still exists. You can still read it. They're fun, you know, they're fun stories. Once again, like, make that your canon if you want to believe it. But I go, well, they're starting over and the films take precedence, so start fresh. That's just more stuff to mine, so.
Hey, you guys, if you want to support the podcast with a few bucks each month, get full access to the full-length interviews of our entire back catalogue, along with bonus Q&A eps and bi-weekly episodes of Gonk Droid's Trash Compactor, and best of all, never get your podcast interrupted with this sort of promo ever again. Join the Steel Wars supporter page. For just $3 Australian, which is about $2.20 American, you can help the podcast keep being produced each and every week for you. You will get access to a supporter exclusive RSS feed that will bring you ad-free podcasts as well as all the bonus content directly onto your podcatcher of choice, and listen with the warm glow that you're chipping in a few bucks to keep us going. All the details are on steelwars.com. Does it shock you how passionate some people are about, like, militant?
It's Star Wars, and I found, like, if I ever tweet anything about video games, I immediately, if I write something about Zelda, good or bad, people are on it. Like, some video game fans are very, very, very serious about their love of their, yeah. But, you know, it's everyone's got a voice now, and everyone's shouting as loud as they can. So.
Yeah, I always find, like it's fun to be super opinionated.
Yeah.
But
it should be this all should be in good fun, right?
Yeah, it's when you're going as hard as actual real issues in the world where people are, like, living and dying. Yeah. When you're as passionate about that, it's just like, ooh, there's a park. You should find a park and go for a walk. And
oh, can I play Pokemon Go there?
Yeah.
I'll get outside.
All right. You may have co-opted my advice there, my great advice.
I haven't. Have you gotten into the Pokemon Go?
I haven't. Jackie's all about it.
Yeah.
And she's Pokemon going probably as we speak. But I'm a fan of it existing. Sure. And I love reading articles about, you know, like, how it's, like, getting people out of the house. And there was a really cool story about, I think, like, a vet from, you know, had been in, like, the Gulf War or something and hadn't left the house, and then somehow this got him out of the house. Like, I love those stories, and just seeing, I just find it fascinating to see story, like, pictures of 200 people in a park all staring at their phones and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't know, I just, it's with something like that, people get so cynical about it, but I'm just like, well, they could be at home watching, you know, playing a video game. They're out, like, it's sort of like a little adventure game. And
yeah, no, it's I don't see anything. I think it's fun. It's I haven't gotten into it. I downloaded it. I still haven't deleted it, but I think I got two and I went, oh, there's one over there. I have to walk over there. Yeah. So, but no, I've, you know, we'll just, you know, I'll hang out with friends. We'll get drinks and they're like, I'm at level 19. Well, I'm at this. Like, hey, let's go outside. You know, people are,
level 19 is pretty
good.
It's
the new smoke break. Well, let's go outside. There's a Pokemon, you know?
Yeah. I'm glad it exists. I find it exciting.
Yeah. And I'm a huge Nintendo fan, as you can see from the coffee table and all the Amiibo and stuff.
I should point out for people listening, Nathan doesn't have framed pictures of his family. He's got a framed Zelda cartridge and a framed Nintendo controller.
That's true.
Is that mummy and
my
daddy?
Favorite siblings? So I'm a huge Nintendo fan. So anything that, you know, is they've not had the best last couple of years. So it's good to see them get a little bump in stock.
My friends, they record this podcast called Hey Fam, and it's sort of like pop culture, and they talk about video games, and they're very passionate about their Nintendo.
Yeah.
And they do seem quite distraught with...
Are they Nintendo fanboys? Are they? Because that I see. That's the thing. While I prefer them, I don't. The people seem like you have to pick one side. It's you're either Sony, Nintendo, or Microsoft. And it's like wherever the good games are is really what it comes down to. And for me, it was I didn't get a PlayStation until later on, like PlayStation 3. So I never grew up with those games. So for me, it's the, you know, it's the Metroids and the Zeldas and the Marios. It's like wherever those games are, I'm going to be. But I don't see the point in going, well, you know, screw Microsoft or this. It's like, no, I like Halo. I just don't happen to have the latest machine I can play it on.
Yeah, but fans love sides.
Yeah.
Like it's...
It's tribalism, you know? It's
yeah.
It's the new form.
It's like this weird thing of... Like even with Star Wars when...
It's their sport.
It's their team. And it's like there's some sort of form of... Like, for some people, self-worth placed on... Like I know fans that they were desperate for Star Wars to beat Avatar at the box office.
Right.
And it's just like, why? Who, like... Yeah.
Well, I mean, even it would have been fun. It would have been kind of cool, but why? It's just a number.
I don't know. My thing was just like, just make a ton of money so you can keep making films.
Yeah.
And have the film be good.
Yeah. We'll see now how Avatar 2 through 12, the new ones that are coming out, we'll see if that can recapture the... Because that's the one thing is it's with Avatar, you know, I went and saw it, and it was good, it was fine, but it didn't really stick with me. I think that's, I've heard other people say that. It's not one of those, I don't think it really, you know, it didn't really, you know, embed itself in pop culture. I think the same as, you know, some other...
It was more movies. The experience of, yeah. like, having that 3D, like, world and stuff.
Yeah.
But I've got no... Like, yeah, I'm not gagging.
Well, I mean, just like the way that, you know, for another, like, Cameron series, like Terminator is, you know, you can make a Terminator reference and most people, well, not most, maybe most of the people I hang out with will get it. You know, where it never really, you know, no one's quoting Avatar anymore. Or ever. Or ever, yeah.
But the thing, like, because people sort of, like, poo-poo it. And, like, I don't have any need to see an Avatar sequel. I will go see it out of curiosity.
Sure.
Because, like, the first one was so visually spectacular.
I go, if you want to spend $200 million, I'll give you $15. I'll check it out. go make your own. Yeah, I'll go see it.
Crowdfunding, the old school way.
Not the same with Transformers, though. I enjoyed the first one, but I haven't seen any of the other ones.
I got too thrashed about. Like, I was just like... I felt like I went... I think I saw the first three, and I'm like, this one will be good.
Yeah.
But when that beam turned like a some soda machine into a Decepticon, I was like...
Was that the first one?
Yeah. I was like, how does this
work? The Mountain Dew monster, yeah.
Like, I never thought that there was magic in Transformers.
Right, yeah.
But there's magic in voluptuous breasts. They're the two big things in the new Transformers. So, was it, like, it seems like you had, you know, to have your dad play Luke Skywalker, your friends have got your dad on the end of their toothbrushes.
Right.
And stuff like that. And it seems like the coolest thing ever. Like, you know, the old schoolyard thing of, like, my dad could beat up your dad.
He wouldn't beat him up. He would go into the house. He'd have a lightsaber hidden in a... there would be an elaborate plan that's not quite clear until it all comes together.
My dad will kill your dad after a 6-month concocted plan and some embedding. And got to call up Billy Dee Williams for this. And it's tough. But eventually, he'll do it. Was there ever, like, a negative side of it? You know, when you're, like, you know, 17 or something, and that seems to be, you know, even for a normal fan, like, when they're least into...
No, I don't think I ever... Yeah, I don't think there's a point where I was ever sick of it or anything. I, like everyone, was really excited when it was like 92 when they brought out those Tops, the Galaxy cards.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, and then later on, I was so thrilled. I was, I ended up doing 3 cards for them. But when I got a chance to do one of the base cards for that, I was just like, I have them all in, you know, in the sleeves there. And to be able to have the first 3 series and then the 4th one came out, what, 15 plus years later, to put my own card in there, that was pretty cool. It took me back to being 12, so.
And is your picture of Luke and Yoda?
Oh, that was a print done for StarWars.com. What did I do for the Tops? I did an Ewok that was like a King Kong size Ewok on a building being attacked by TIE fighters, and holding C-3PO. He was the Fey Ray,
And everyone listening, my face is lit up imagining this picture. We're gonna have to find this card. That sounds.
I may have an extra one.
I'm a big Ewok guy.
Yeah.
So I just don't think Wicket gets his due.
Yeah.
So I interviewed a guy from Tops at Comic-Con, and I was telling him that, you know, during that card boom that was sort of led by, you know, like the Jordan cards and stuff.
Yeah. But,
and it was during the total drought of Star Wars product, and they brought out the Star Wars Galaxy cards, which were like artists' sort of reinterpretations.
The new visions, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was just, like, I'd sort of no interest in swap cards, but it was like, there is something new.
Yeah.
There is Star Wars product. This is, I have to buy it. And I grew up in this little town, which is about an hour and a half out of Melbourne. And we had the boom sustained 3 different trading card shops. Like,
with LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Oh, no, we had a McDonald's by then. But, John, I mean, that's how popular trading cards were at the time. And, yeah, the Star Wars Galaxy cards were just...
Well, did you ever get into the Marvel ones where they had, like, they had their stats on the back?
Oh, no.
It was great because, to this day, I'm like, Spider-Man can lift 2,000 pounds. You know, like, those were my baseball cards. We'd be trading them, you know. But they had, yeah, their intelligence, strength, endurance, all this, their stats on the back. And it was great. Like, I
Star Sign?
No, but I read those cards more than I did comics. Like that was all about those. Those were, you should check them out. Weren't you just at Comic-Con? I should have recommended it earlier. You were just at Comic-Con.
So your card came out 15 years later. They had a big break.
Yeah. Let's see. I think it was 2008. So yeah, I mean a decade or so later, but, yeah, and I ended up doing 2 others for them, in addition to sketch cards, which the biggest one was, I think I did a batch of 100 sketch cards. That was hunkered down in my apartment and watched, you know, Netflix for a good amount of time on those.
So explain, look, I think I know what a sketch card is, whereas an artist gets blank cards.
Yeah.
And you actually draw 100 different pictures.
Yeah, so it has like the little, you know, border on it, and it's got the Star Wars logo, and on the back it says there's this, you know, one of one sketch card. And then they'll just randomly put them into packs of cards.
Does it have your name on the back?
No, you just do your signature, so... You know, people have to know what NH is because I just do a little, you know.
That's such a bummer because how good would it be to flip the back and find out how much you can lift?
Right, exactly. There you go.
Nathan can lift 24 beers.
Yeah.
There you go. Well, that's all. So what sort of like art? Like, was it a painting or how did you draw?
For the base cards? Or,
like the Wicket one.
Pen and ink, and then, yeah, sketch it out in pencil, then, you know, ink it, and then scan it and color in Photoshop and render it, do all that stuff.
What other sort of stuff have you done like that?
What do you mean? Like,
art? Have you ever done a comic or anything like that?
No. I've done, you know, prints and posters for various art shows, you know, around LA and, yeah, no comics. Did a cartoon.
Do you want to make a comic?
Maybe.
Come on, let's go. What cartoon did you make?
It was called Weasel Town. Not to be confused with the Frozen movie. What we did, it was for YouTube. It was like their first original content. It was 2012. So we did 10 3-minute episodes. I did with Eric Filipkowski. So he wrote it and we both created it. And it was a lot of fun. It's still up on YouTube. So check it out. Weasel Town.
YouTube, the home of content.
Yes.
That's where all the best content is, apparently. Episode 1 comes along.
Yes.
And there's no Mark Hamill, but there's a bit of sweet Nathan Hamill.
That's right. I asked my mom, I went, can you get me over there? It was summer of 97. And yeah, it was just
I asked my mom the same thing. She's told me, shut up.
Yeah. She said, call Nathan's mom.
She's going to buy some more swap cards.
Yeah. But I went over there and was just an extra. It was a background character. And there's been some speculation as to, I think some people thought I was a pod race spectator. And I've heard Naboo guard, but I was a Naboo civilian. I'm in one shot. If anyone can find me, please let me know. But I was in one shot where the battle droids are marching everyone across that the palace.
Oh, the plaza thing?
Yeah, yeah.
And because I saw you've got... Did you have an 8x10 of you in the outfit?
Yeah, I don't know. Someone started printing those up. I don't know. I get those every once in a while to sign. But
you're so fresh-faced.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
What was that like?
It's all scruffy looking.
Yeah. What was that like to be on the set of this new Star Wars film?
It was cool. I mean, it's funny. I was just remembering this, that there was, I mean, now on the new one, you know, everything is so secretive that, you know, you have to have credentials to have, even to have a sketchbook, forget a camera. I mean, that's, you know, but back then for, episode 1, I just remember I had my sketchbook and I'm just, you know, just doodling the Naboo fighter. You know, it was just interesting that was a hugely anticipated movie, and it was just, you know, I think it's before the internet. It's like, yeah, it's a sketch. What's he going to do with it? Even though it's 97, the internet's, you know, around.
Yeah, like...
No one said anything.
Yeah, it's like there it was the sort of the beginning of the fan internet, because I know I used to go to like the force.net,
yeah,
and they do the thing for the spoilers. It'd be in white and you'd highlight the text to like, that was like your sort of little scratch and sniff sort of deal. But you know, even if you were sketching stuff, it's like, well, how's he even going to get that into a computer?
Exactly. Yeah.
Like, so what did you see, like what scenes did you get remember seeing getting filmed and stuff?
I saw the Darth Maul, when they opened up the doors.
And the classic
there.
Shot.
Yeah. I remember, Jake Lloyd's in the cockpit, the, you know, Anakin, you stay there, or whatever the line was, stay in the cockpit. But no, I just remember driving in the first day and seeing one of those battle tanks on the lawn. And I was like, okay, this is pretty cool.
Yeah. And what was the vibe like on, I don't think I've ever spoken to someone that was on the set of, because...
Each trilogy, right? I think I've made it on to, been on the set of the original, the prequels, and the new ones.
I didn't even think about that. But yeah. I've spoken to a lot of people.
I missed out on Rogue One. Oh, no, that's not true. I was near the set for Rogue One. So, all right, I made it. I got to keep this up.
Hey, we've all been near sets. All right. Nice to leave. But, yeah, I've spoke to tons of people that are on episode 2 and 3, because they were filmed in Australia.
Yeah.
But... I don't think I've ever spoken to someone about, like, what was the vibe like on set? You know, because we see a lot of the documentaries, especially now with people, like, you know, it's like, kids that have grown up and have gotten into the business because of the films.
Right.
But, like, was there an energy and excitement that you recall?
No, but I mean, I really hadn't, you know, been... I guess I was on a bit on set here and there, you know, when my dad was doing stuff growing up, but like Slipstream, that was fun because I forget where they shot that, but it was these beautiful, I think it was Ireland. I think it was Northern England. Anyhow, it seemed normal, not normal, but it didn't seem particularly, you know, tense, or it was just, you know, for a lot of people, it's just a job, you know, people on set, you know, so.
Do you think it's different to, like, when you're on the set of Episode 7? Is it a different feel?
Yeah, I mean, I guess with that one, maybe I did. Yeah, I think I had more access, you know, I was just by myself for Episode 1. So I guess I didn't really get a tour or anything. So I'm trying to remember, there was the Naboo Hangar Bay. I think I saw Watto or... Watto, Anakin's home or his room, and yeah, and that, like you said, the big the plaza. But I don't, and that's the thing, I mean, so much of it was blue screen there, you know, I'm not going to be on Coruscant or so those are, I only remember those scenes because, yeah, I guess if you think about it, the rest of it is digital,
yeah,
except for the ships, right, and the cockpits and whatnot.
What do you remember about Jake Lloyd on the set?
We were just talking about, you know, toys and stuff. He was nice, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he would have been, what, he was like 9 at the time? But yeah, he's like, oh, I have this toy, I have that toy. I'm like, oh, yeah, me too. Yeah, he was nice, yeah.
It's pretty sick. So how did you find out that there was going to be a Star Wars Episode 7?
Yeah, I was at work. I remember it was about noon. This is like the nerdy... This is like the JFK, like, where were you in the moment? But yeah, just from the internet, I think, like, everyone at the office just started saying, not only did Disney buy Star Wars, we're going to hit you with, and they're doing 3 more movies. So
you didn't get the inside word?
No, my dad called me later and he's like, yeah, so here's, you know, this, but yeah, the secrets are, it's a real thing. You gotta, yeah. You can't even tell your own flesh and blood. No, it was fun. It was exciting. Yeah. And once again, the internet freaked out. Disney's going to, it's like, just relax, you know, and it seems to be working fine so far. Right.
Well, that, I think people had this thing of just like, it's Disney. They just saw the brand, you know, like,
yeah.
Disney.
Yeah.
And people just jumped to such reactions like, you know, like the Marvel films, they're pretty bloody great.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not, like, well, a deep Marvel fan. Like, I don't know how much Spider-Man...
How many can left? You don't remember? I just told you.
I think, but it's, no, 200 pounds.
Higher. But, yeah, I mean, I think that with both of them, it seems like they are not hands-off, but they let the creative people know what they're doing. Same with, you know, even with Pixar. They could have, you know, said, you're ours now and we're taking over. It's like, no, we can tell you what to do if we really want to, but we'll, you know, we'll respect your decisions and let you guys run with it somewhat.
Well, yeah, that's interesting. I was reading an interview with Bob Iger, like, in one of, like, Variety or, you know, one of those papers. And he was saying that they sort of bought Pixar and they copied sort of their working environment rather
for
than
their
the
animated
way around.
Stuff. Yeah, yeah, you're right.
Just a heads up that our now world famous asterisk, Your Snoke Theory Sucks, and the Have You Seen Him stickers and t-shirts are now available from the Steel Wars merch store. You can get a 10-pack of stickers for just $5 Australian, which is under $4 American. It helps support the podcast, and you also get instantly 10 bonus supporter-exclusive episodes handpicked by little old me. Check it out at steelwars.com.
When did you work out or find out that your dad wasn't going to say anything?
Oh, I never read the script, but Yeah, I don't remember. I don't remember exactly what I found out. Because, you know, it's... God, when did they shot that summer of 14? So probably earlier that year. Yeah.
What did you what was your immediate reaction to that?
Well, I just wanted to know. It's like it all depends on how the rest of the movie leads up to that. So I was kept in the dark on that. I think I probably could have, you know, really elbowed him and said, "Come on, let me read it." But I wanted to keep it as a surprise. So for the most part, it was just being on set and sort of piecing things together, you know, through osmosis. If you know enough about Star Wars, you can kind of see a prop and go, well, that means that this, that, the other. You sort of, you know, you absorb the whole thing. So I think I knew the broad strokes. And then, you know, going on.
Were you just like.
Going on websites.
Were you just like, hey, Dad, when are you filming your scenes again? Like.
But like, you know, and I'll go to the Star Wars blogs and just, you know, see what they're saying, you know. So there's some rumors where, and I didn't know for a fact, but I go, oh, that sounds about right. You know, the other thing, and I was talking to Rian Johnson about this is, you know, even if something were to leak that, and there's so much stuff that leaks that's not true, then there's the stuff that leaks that is, but even... with that stuff that gets out there, it's like, this is such a small segment, the people that are going to the blogs and reading it. It's really not going to spoil it for the general, you know, general audience. So
we're talking a bit about your art before, and tell us about your figures that you do.
Oh yeah. I design vinyl figures with mostly I've been working with a company in the last 3 or now soon to be 4 releases with with a company called 3D Retro. So I guess they're somewhat known, but I think it's still something that they're basically toys that they're like art toys or collectible toys you wouldn't get at Toys R Us. They're limited. They cost a bit more cause we're making less of them. And, it was just a good marriage of, you know, the illustration I do, and I've always been a toy fan. So came together and, you know, nicely. So I'm doing that for a few years now.
And there's a couple of like characters and stuff. They have backstories? Like, is there, like, a world?
Yeah, yeah. They're not really on the box. The box is mostly artwork, but, like, when we release something, I'll have a few paragraphs about their backstory, but...
Which one can lift the most?
that's the upcoming Spider-Ham vinyl collectible.
Have you ever done, like a Star Wars-related vinyl toy?
No, it's tough to do that. I did try to get the license at one point, but, you know, they don't want you stepping on the toes of, you know, Hasbro. And I mean, there's plenty of Star Wars figures out there. So I don't, you know, it's hard to get your foot in the door with that stuff. But I've always wanted to do if I had one character I do Chewbacca, you know, that would be a fun one to design. So
what's it like seeing Chewbacca on the set? Cause that's like one of the, like, it's a fantastic image, but it's also a practical, like it's one thing that you can actually look and go, there's Chewbacca.
Yeah. Well, it's weird too, because you're talking to the guy before, you know, it's a really nice guy, Jonas, you know, you're talking to him, and then he gets made up, and then you know it's him in there, but it's also sort of like just staring into a Wookiee's eyes, you know. It's a very, it's a strange, strange sensation.
Because I even, you know, I'll be at Disneyland, and you just know it's like some 20-year-old in a suit. Spoiler alert, everyone.
Yeah.
But you see Mickey Mouse, and you're just like, it's Mickey Mouse, like... I think I might go get a photo with him and
right, yeah.
And be a bit like Hi, Mickey.
Well, I guess that's a little stranger, though, than like when you, you know, see, you know, Cruella de Vil or something, when it's a, just a human in makeup. You know?
Yeah.
I think it's, yeah.
So. Yeah, I never buy it during, like, I never buy the Tinkerbell or whatever on the, yeah, on the float.
Yeah.
But if you put a giant, like, mouse head on.
Yeah. I believe it's real. Yeah.
So you're on the set of episode 7. Yeah. What's like a definitive memory of something where you were just like, wow, I just saw that.
BB-8 rolling up. Cause I, you know, it wasn't like, I didn't see the concept art or anything. It was just, oh, we have this thing and it's rolling up and it works. Yeah, all the creature stuff, the props was really cool.
Did you get to stroll the Falcon?
Yeah. We got into the cockpit there. We took a picture of, it was my dad, my brother and I, of us at the chess table. I brought over Lava Bear, which is a vinyl toy I did, and had him picking up Octopup, which is another little vinyl, you know, kind of recreating the chess battle. So it was fun. And, you know, of course, we'll take it on our camera and we'll email you in about a year and a half.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you're not, yeah, we can't, you know, and I get it because now, you know, if you took a picture and even if they trust you, you know, with the cloud and everything, you know, it's like.
Hate the cloud.
Hate the cloud. But yeah, I think that they, you know, at this point, it's like the, all the nude celebrity pictures. It's like there's probably an equal or more, you know, yeah, equal amount of interest in.
So what you're saying was that Lucasfilm took all your naked photos.
Naked photos and put them
up. And they're going to send you a year and a half.
Yeah, they're going to leak it to the cloud.
it's a saucy photo of me in the Falcon cockpit.
Yeah. New meaning to the word cockpit.
Have you got your photo, though? Did they send it?
Yeah.
Did that organized? Got that.
Yeah. Yeah. It was, it was sent over and I was like, okay, right after the movie came out, I'm like, now I'm posting this.
That's so dope. Did you go to the premiere?
Yeah.
What was that like?
It was cool. I'd never seen, anything like that where they, you know, they blocked off the streets and just this crazy line to go, you know, you went through. It was a good feeling, though, all the security. You went through all these, you know, checkpoints and everything, and it was pretty incredible. But best part of the night was I'm walking past, I see my sister, and she's talking to Andy Serkis. And I just was like, okay, I got to say hello. And he said hello back, and we started talking. I went, can we get a picture? Give my friend the phone. And I start pretending that I'm holding up, you know, the ring, and he wasn't sure what I was doing because I was just, you know, I didn't have one. I was just pantomiming it. And then he goes, hold on. And he starts to take off his wedding ring. So we got a picture of him holding the ring and me about to put my finger in it. We're both, you know, staring at it maniacally. And I was like, that Star Wars movie was pretty good, but that was the best thing of the night.
Yeah, well, when you were on your way there, you had no idea you were about to marry Andy Serkis.
Exactly. So that'll be my Facebook picture from now until the next social media site that we all join. we're going back to MySpace, everyone. Come on.
Ashton said so. Were you in the room, like, were you in the cinema where they gave the standing ovation for George Lucas?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I don't know if you've, like, met him many times, but I, watching, because they had a live stream of the premiere.
Yeah.
And they sort of had a camera on him for a while, and he wouldn't have known the camera was on him.
Sure.
He just seemed like he was tripping out.
It's finally sinking in.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't really get a sense of it. He was sitting behind us. I don't like to, you know, rubberneck and, you know, and that's the one thing I'm always annoyed at premieres is, you know, the people that get in there early, they just got their head turned just watching, you know, for people to come in. It's like, just relax and just sit and wait for the movie to start. It's just, you know.
Well, go, hey, go easy. Not everyone has Christmas dinner with Luke Skywalker, buddy. It's exciting for the other people.
All right.
I get where you're coming from, but if I was in that Star Wars premiere room, I'd be...
I'm jaded, I guess.
I'd be glaring around. I'd be doing the old Masters of the Universe mecha neck sort of deal. Fascinated with that moment where he sort of got...
Yeah, it was nice. It was, yeah, it was a cool moment to... yeah, he and you know, you have Spielberg next to him, you know, giving him his due. So that was cool. Yeah,
nice. So you can't say anything
about anything.
About anything. But we always end with, what would you like to see in an upcoming Star Wars movie?
Ooh. Standalone or just in general? Well, that's tough because I, you know, have to see.
I'd like to see your dad learn a line. That would be great.
Maybe he's gone mute. Maybe the character.
Well, my thing is, the only thing I want to see, I don't even care anymore. I just want to see that green lightsaber. I just want to see it ignited again. He doesn't have to backflip before he catches it.
Right.
Just crank it open one last time. You know, maybe all this dust might come out at the same time, but
now the battery's gone out.
What would you like to see?
Oh, it's hard to say because I just I don't want to not build it up, but I don't want to get too much into exactly like where I want to see it go, because I don't think you'll be disappointed, but you'll have, you know, I think that a lot of people, they have their version of the movie in their head before they go in there. And if it, and it's not going to be exactly what they thought it should be, then you ultimately are disappointed. So just be excited to be, you know, wowed by what they're doing. So it's hard to say. My answer might change more when the next one's out, because how do they wrap it up? Mm-hmm. We're still in this area of like, let's see where they're going with this, you know? So I kind of like the mystery. So yeah, well, you have to ask me in 2018.
Done. We've booked a guest in the future. And then we can finally know.
I want a third Ewoks movie. We got Caravan of Courage was, you know, not so great, but Battle for Endor, I'll stand up for that one.
What?
You like Caravan of Courage more?
Yes.
Really? No.
Wicket talked. He was talking English in Battle for Endor. It was brutal.
But you had Teek, you had Wilford Brimley, and you had Ewoks with blasters. You had the lizard people. Oh no, I definitely like the second one better.
But Wicket could talk. It was like.
Yeah.
I tried to watch it not recently, but in the last 10 years.
And he forgot how to talk, because those are supposed to be prequels to... That happens before Return of the Jedi. So they'd encountered... They never tried to eat them. Notice that, too? They never tried to eat those kids. Maybe because she was sick. And they went, in the first one, they're like, oh, bad meat.
Well, maybe they were trying to do, like, the thing where they were trying to fatten them up.
True.
Do you know what I mean? If you look at Sindel,
yeah,
she's just skin and bones.
Yeah, exactly.
But, you know, you get her on a, I don't know what they eat, some jub-jub nuts or some stuff, and then chub her up, and then bang, BBQ. Well, they didn't want to eat Princess Leia either.
That's true.
But the disturbing thing is, where'd Princess Leia's clothes come from?
They look like they were all stitched together. Weren't they? Didn't they have...
But did they just make them that day?
Probably.
Or were they someone else's clothes?
Oh, interesting.
Do you reckon they've got a little Ewok sweatshop underneath that tree?
Exactly. But it's just strange.
No, you were there, man.
It's just weird, though, because Wicket, he learned English, and then I guess he wasn't using it for a while, and just...
Reminds me of someone else I know. Can you confirm that Luke Skywalker talks again?
I can't confirm anything. I can't even confirm there will be an episode 8. That's how secretive it is. I don't know. I think it might just end there. I think that's it.
Nathan, if people want to find out more about your vinyl figures,
yes,
where can they click on the on the light internet, and then give out your dark internet website dark address internet as well.
With that one, you have to go to the dark version of this podcast, which I can't tell you where that is.
That's the one that's filled with all the spoilers.
Exactly. Yeah. NathanHamill.com. That's where you can see it. So, and then of course, you know, I think, yeah, at this point I do a lot more updates on Instagram, Twitter, Tumblr, if you're so inclined. And
you're at Nathan Hamill?
And Tinder. No. yeah, at Nathan Hamill on all that. I haven't gotten, I think I started a Snapchat, but I just, oh, and Vine too, which I check every once in a while, but.
That'd be a confusing Tinder profile pic, you and Andy Serkis and a wedding ring.
Yeah.
You're like, what's this dude's game? Which one is he? Why is he married? Well, thanks for talking Star Wars.
Yeah.
And thanks for a fun couple of weeks.
Yeah, it's been good.
Of hitting convention bars.
Nerding out, yep.
And may that force be with you.
And you as well.
Bang.
We're done.
Hey, you guys. I hope you enjoyed that super fun episode chatting Star Wars with Nathan Hamill. If you enjoyed the podcast and you want to help us out in a really easy way, just find the episode announcement. It's normally pinned to the top of my Twitter account, and just hit retweet or share the link on Facebook or on a Star Wars forum that you're on or on Instagram. If you can get one extra person interested in the podcast, you've done your part as a podcast listener. Podcasting is a very like user-powered medium because, you know, we don't get to advertise and that sort of stuff. It's all word of mouth. So, you know, you found out about it somehow. Pod it forward to someone else and shout us a retweet or a repost. That is so appreciated. And of course, we love it when you go on to iTunes and write a sweet 5-star review. Let's see what the new ones can be. This one is a new one this week, and it's from Chesterino. Chesterino. The title is A Sweet 5 Stars on Brand. One of my favorite podcasters and presenters still provides a great take on the magic that is Star Wars. Great guests, great conversations, and a lot of good laughs. Sweet 5-star review on the Australian iTunes store. Thank you so much. And, you know, if everyone can chip in with a 5-star review, I know there's thousands of you going, stop talking about the 5-star review. I'll do it one day. Enough with the 5-star review. And then there's a few hundred of you going, hey, I've already done it. I've done my part. Well, the people that have done their part, join them. And then you can be annoyed with this plug for the right reasons. The fact that it's now doesn't apply to you. You've done your part. Have you done your part? Statistics say that you haven't, because I've only got 233 reviews and I've got thousands and thousands and thousands of downloaders. You see how there's a separation there. Let's get it up. A huge shout out for the people that have taken time out of their day to do that. It only takes about a minute, if that. Depends how long you type, but it is so appreciated. We've also got the Steel Wars supporter page for just $3 Australian, which is about $2.20 American. You get full access to our back catalogue of interviews. The good thing about the Steel Wars interviews is that the majority of them are pretty timeless. You know, people's memories about Star Wars and funny riffs about Star Wars, they're still funny. It's not like a news show, which is pretty cool. Now, you also got the Gonk Droid Trash Compactor show, which I do with Tony Medina, the Gonk Droid, every 2 weeks. And also the bi-weekly Q&A show, Questions You Have, Answers I Give, where the supporters get to ask me questions about Star Wars or podcasts or anything at all. There's even been a Jerry question or two of late. And we answer them every 2 weeks on the alternative week to the Gonk Droid episode. And some shout-outs for some very great listeners that are supporting the podcast. Thank you to Joshua Bleed, Timo, Registratus, Nicholas Menman, and Catherine O'Mara, who are all chipping in to make sure the podcast gets to you guys each week. Thank you guys so much. It means a lot to me that you support it. Thanks so much. There should be, maybe this weekend, we're going to test it out. Check out the Twitter or the Facebook and the website, because we might test out doing the call-in show. And it will be like a Friday night in America, Saturday morning in Australia. I haven't got it quite worked out yet, but if you want to take part in, we'll have a special guest and you guys can call in. It'll be, you can Skype in or whatever. It's going to be a toll-free type affair. But if I get it going, I will announce it on the next couple of days all over the social media and on the website, which is steelwars.com. On the social media, it is at steelwars all over the shop, Twitter and Instagram. And you can just search Steel Wars on Facebook. If you guys want to get your hands on your Snoke Theory Sucks t-shirts or stickers, or Have You Seen Him t-shirts and stickers, they are on the Steel Wars web store. A little hint, you get 15% off for being a Steel Wars supporter. So you can sort of become a supporter, then you save $3 off the t-shirt you made in the shade. You got access for the month of podcasts. It's pretty good. And the t-shirts are hand screen printed on a triple A tube t-shirt, so they don't wash off and the t-shirts don't shrink. They are top quality. My other comedy podcast, I Love Green Guide Letters, is back in action. We just put up the London episode that we did after the Tom Bell episode in London. We did the Steel Wars and afterwards we did the I Love Green Guide Letters. It is out of control. It is one of the loosest, just a bizarre comedy podcast. So if you've never listened to an episode before, this is an awesomely crazy place to start. So that is I Love Green Guide Letters. You can find that on iTunes or on iLoveGreenGuideLetters.com. And if you want some more Star Wars podcasting, we are, of course, part of the Making Star Wars Podcast Network. Of course, MakingStarWars.net is the internet's hotspot for Star Wars news and rumors, and they have got a top-shelf lineup of podcasts all tackling Star Wars from different points of view. Monday, you've got Now This Is Podcasting, the flagship news show with Jason, Randy, Saf, Sal, Max, and whoever else is about. Tuesdays, it's us, Steel Wars. Doesn't really matter. You can listen to these whatever day. The Cantina Cast. I love these guys, Mike and Joa. They're back at it, or Mike is anyway. And on their last episode, they're breaking down the Star Wars Celebration Europe panel and trailer. Idiots Array is on Thursdays. More Celebration Europe info on the latest episode. Rogue One is always on Thursdays with Johnny, Mike, and Hawes. I've been over there and it was an awesome podcast. So if you haven't listened to my episode, listen to that. It is a 3-hour laughter-filled trip. That is every Thursday. Friday is Rebel Girl with Amanda Ward and Tracy Gardner. Always good times. The Force Cult on Saturday. Sunday, you've got a bit of a collecting skew with the Cargo Hold, the newest addition to the Making Star Wars Podcast Network, talking all things Star Wars collectibles. And then there's the First Order Transmissions. Good, interesting Star Wars conversations. Isn't that what you want? The Making Star Wars Podcast Network. If you want to see them all in iTunes, just click steelwars.com/MSW and we've got a beautiful splash page. So thank you guys for all your support with the podcast. Make sure you check the social media to see if the live ep is going to plan. And may that force be with you.
ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.